I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Prepare at last his return. Your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll see you in the end, my friend.
Welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind reread podcast. I am your host, Tim, and joining me is Jennifer. How are you today, Jennifer?
Hello, everyone. I'm good. I went to the mall today.
How was the mall?
The mall, there were honestly too many people were in the mall today. It feels like a very, like, 90s thing that I went to the mall. I went to the Jamba Juice. Turns out going to the mall the day before Mother's Day, not great. Too many people in there.
It's bad.
And I saw so many Zoomers in the Sephora, and they made me feel 1,000 years old. So that wasn't super great for my psychic energy, but I love walking around the mall just listening to my little podcast. So that was good.
Perfect.
It was nice.
Last time I went to the mall, I mean, I go to the mall during the week.
See, that's what I should have done, but I didn't have time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a complete,
going on the weekend, that's for fools.
Me and my mall walker friends, we have a good time. We switch the Pokemon Go gyms back and forth.
We have fun.
So this is, Tribulation Farce, chapters 5 and 6. Guys, we're so in it right now.
We are so back. I was reading the chapters earlier in the week, and I was just giggling. So I was like, oh, Tim, you're going to be so happy. Like, a specific person gets brought up in this chunk that I was like,
I was like, are they introducing Ben Judah already?
Yeah, I got really excited for you because I don't really remember anything about this guy. Just that you talk about him.
Dear listener, this is going to come out wrong. And you have to kind of accept it both with the spirit that it's coming from and the negative spirit for which it was written.
Right.
Ben Judah's the good Jew.
What? Yeah.
Haim's the bad Jew.
Right, because he was devout.
Exactly.
And Haim was like, I was not a religious Jew.
Exactly.
Like, I would just go to synagogues.
As the story progresses,
right,
it's a tale of two cities, so to speak.
But, like, well, I was going to say, obviously they're both going to become the best kind of Jews, Christians. Eventually?
I don't know about that.
Really? Maybe not?
I don't know about that.
Are you saying you don't know that's going to happen, or are you saying that what I said is not correct?
The thing that happens to one of these characters...
Okay, well, I don't remember.
...is one of the weirdest parts of the books, bar none. It's what we talk about when we say the world's most confusing knife. I can't remember if that happens before or after the Mark of the Beast.
Okay.
So it depends. But I'll say no more.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff in these chapters that are like, oh, here we go with evangelicals' beliefs about Jews.
Yeah, it's
like, oh, there we go. There it is.
It's almost said it's like it's a sticky subject, but it's not. I mean, they literally are just
bad. Yeah, exactly.
meaning their views of it, not that Jews are bad. It's
no, like the way that they're like, because I do like I honestly feel like a certain type of evangelical is basically like, well, like, a Jew is, like, halfway to becoming a Christian.
It's very...
they could be changed.
Exactly. It's very infantilizing.
Yes, extremely.
And it's like, isn't it precious, sweetheart? You only read half the book.
Oh, they're still looking for the Messiah. Yeah. He already came. They don't know.
So silly. So foolish.
Yeah, it's very illuminating to the evangelical attitude towards Jewish people.
It is May 13th, the day after Jennifer's birthday.
That's right.
That's
why I went to the mall.
We were discussing,
to get on my birthday discounts.
We were discussing some things to do for Hashtag content.
Uh-huh.
And Jennifer's going out of town for almost 2 weeks, so the next Tribulation Farce episode most likely will be late.
Yeah, sorry. I gotta travel. I gotta go see Suga in concert mm-hmm. in Oakland, and mm-hmm. then I'm gonna go to Portland.
I was like, yeah, that takes 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited for you to be gone. I'm gonna play so much Zelda while you're gone.
How many times are you gonna fall asleep on the couch?
30, I think.
Yeah.
I'm so psyched. So all that to say is, you know, we had several ideas we've talked about before. There's no bad ideas, right? Like, we have 30,000 ideas,
yeah.
And we want to pick the fruit for which you guys want. And Zachary Lowry on Twitter suggested just watch Leftovers.
Yeah, which so we have seen
before.
But Tim and I were talking about this last night, like, it's been a while since,
yeah.
I don't even remember when we watched it exactly, but it's been, I feel like it was a different world ago.
Yeah, and I think now after digging into the Left Behind books again, and yeah, like Jennifer said, different world, I think that'll be a lot of fun. And since I like to name things, since car talk was mm-hmm. so popular, welcome to the next hit content hole show. Couchcast. That's right. We watch an episode of The Leftovers, then pop up our phone or
yeah.
other, like, more portable microphone, chat right there.
Yeah.
You know, real quick.
Yeah.
Off like, the dome.
Exactly. Like a short one. So, but what, here's the thing though. What if we, like, end up watching, like, multiple episodes at a time?
We would just either A, stop ourselves, or B, look at ourselves like, I don't know if we get an episode of that. I think we'll figure that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But no, I'm actually like really excited to rewatch
The
Leftovers because this is why like I love rewatching things in general because listeners, you change as you grow older. So that you notice different things. So I'm really excited to watch it now. Like you said, Tim, having dug more into the Left Behind stuff mm-hmm. And to see how it compares. And also like watching The Leftovers like post the pandemic, I think will be interesting.
Absolutely. It's a great show. So we can do a watch along with the folks in Discord too and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Still kind of in the infancy, but you know, the basic gist is there. Watch Leftovers, talk about it.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Chapter 5.
Wow. It was so like quiet going into it. I
yeah.
didn't get screamed at, so I didn't know what to do.
Right, exactly.
Also, guys, Tim wrote the notes for
yeah,
this
is so. a Tim note. I hated it.
Did it make you appreciate me?
No.
What?
I'm just full of resentment. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I'm a little more quote heavy because one, I just copy and paste it from my janky PDF,
yeah.
So it's easier that way.
That is true, because I can't do that. I have to type out every quote, so I have to really want it.
Once I started doing that with my official library copy off Kindle, and it's like, don't do that.
Yeah,
you can't copy and paste off Kindle. What the fuck are you talking about?
You had to go to the jank PDF.
Then I opened the jank PDF, and that worked totally fine.
Well, I hope that we get errors in your quotes somehow, like from the jank PDF. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
But, yeah, so this is, we pick back up with Buck still on his way to
yeah.
go see Carp. Well, he doesn't even know what's going on. He thinks he's going straight to see Carpathia,
right.
But it turns out that's not what's happening.
Yeah, and the first paragraph is, Buck began to feel more confident that he wasn't in mortal danger. Too many people had been involved in getting him from Chicago to New York and now to Midtown. On the other hand, if Nikolai Carpathia could get away with murder in front of more than a dozen eyewitnesses, he could certainly eliminate one magazine writer. And I'm like, that's the way you start a chapter, baby.
Like, okay, I don't think that I'm gonna die, but he could still get my ass.
Right, I mean, there's no reason that Nikolai couldn't, like, buy, I don't know, airtime in Manhattan, and, like, I need everyone to look at the TV. Like, you did not see me
you
murder
did not
Buck
see
Williams.
It. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yeah.
Like, sure.
But he's going to the Manhattan Harbor Yacht Club. We love it there, don't we, folks?
Oh, man. Yeah, what a, like, a whole weird setup. But, yeah, it turns out the person that's actually waiting for him at the Manhattan Harbor Yacht Club is Haim.
Yeah.
Haim.
We love him. He's the guy that came up with the formula that magically turns desert into beautiful farming land.
Yeah, into the Fertile Crescent.
And somehow made Israel the richest nation on the planet, even though Israel is like half the size of Utah or something. I've never looked it up.
It's very tiny. Yeah. It's very small.
Like, we've talked about this before, but like, are we saying that it's just so expensive to get crops from Nebraska to Jordan? Is that what we're saying?
Maybe.
I mean, that might be.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and just say I don't feel like they know what they're talking about. I don't trust Tim LaHaye or Jerry Jenkins, like, understanding of supply chains.
They're only focused on airplanes.
Yeah, that's the only part that's accurate. And isn't maybe not that. Who knows?
I wish they talked about having, like, huge bananas.
We make the biggest bananas in the world.
But
like, I like the idea that the like fertilizer just makes everything huge.
Right? How else? What? Why is it? Why? What else is it gonna do? Just simply save on import fees. And I mean, again, I'm sure that's very expensive, spoilage, things like that. But Nebraska is big compared to Israel, I think.
But shit, if they grow big fruit, then like that's gonna, like, you open up a banana, it's like, okay, this is for the whole family. Everyone come in here. The idea of holding a banana the size of like a child, very funny to me. I like it.
Yeah.
Or slicing like a huge apple, mm-hmm. like, again, it just feeds your entire family.
Yeah, Israel's just like a tiny bit of California. I know that, hey, California big, but
right, but that's, you know, just, that's like one of our
Virginia
states.
Is like a lot bigger than Israel. Anyways, still weird. They point out that Chaim is all disheveled, but like in his kind of
that's like his
silly
that's
way.
Like his look, right? Right. He's kind of the he's a little bit of the you know, my brain's like the nutty professor. that's not like, you know what I mean? He's like the professor type. Like, it's like, oh, he's like kind of disheveled.
He's not the nutty professor for sure.
He's like, well, also my brain went to Bernie Sanders, which was maybe like not fair of me. And
no, I use that analogy as well.
Yeah, just so like a guy is like, I'm just trying to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to look
frazzled.
A way.
My hair is away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like how we talked about Bruce.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's just, he doesn't care.
He doesn't have time to friggin' tuck his tie in. He's trying to.
He doesn't have time to,
guns.
Like, to friggin' wipe the sweat off his brow.
Exactly. The basic gist of this section is basically transferring Buck from the scary limo to talking to Chaim.
With the silent bodyguard and driver. Yeah,
which is very weird, but, we, you know, it's good that they throw in this weird shit of, like, oh, the limo driver wagged his finger at the guy who was coming to open the door at the Harbor Yacht Club. Nah, we got that door. It's like, all right, okay. Is this supposed to impress us?
What are they even trying to like get across?
Yeah, the most charitable I ever got, and I don't think this is true, is that they're nervous someone's going to try to kill Buck. And now, that is not true at all.
No,
at all. He has solved that situation by murdering Todd Cawthron. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. But no, I get it. To me, it feels more like a control thing. Like,
yeah.
You're fully under our control. You're not going to be, like, touched by any outside agent of any kind. Like, it's all Carpathia people.
And we see later in this chapter that Carpathia is not above weird managerial mind games to, like, show power in various forms.
That's the most antichrist thing about him.
That is so true.
Chaim is in town because he is helping Nikolai set up some preparations between the UN and Israel for the whole, like, agreement that's going to happen between them.
Yeah, and we get a little more of the specifics because he's been here and he's going back and forth regarding what does Israel get? What does the UN get? What does the rest of the world get?
Yeah.
Because, again, we're moving towards a world where 90% of all armaments are destroyed, and then the remaining 10% all go to the UN. So that's
and we're going to get into that.
100% disarmament from the planet, really, if you think about it.
Right. So, So Buck gets grilled once again about why he missed the UN. And, like, this, I'm starting to get a little bit like, okay, like, you've just made my man have to explain this to, like, five different people, and they're all like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are we having this conversation five times?
Yeah, I agree with you because I had the same thought, but part of me is like, this is what would happen. Everyone would be like, yo, what the fuck?
They would, but that's boring. Because, like, Buck can't lie now, so, like, he can't even say anything interesting. He just has to be, like, weird and evasive in a way that I find, like, really annoying.
Well, yeah, that's how he was, I thought, through a lot of the conversation he has later with Nikolai.
But, I guess he's like not as bad with Heim here, but right. I think I'm getting pretty annoyed about the
exactly. Goliath conversation. But I do think it's interesting how he frames it to different people.
Yes.
And how he's having to, expound upon it.
Yeah.
The book says, after Heim's like, how could you miss it? I don't understand either, Buck said. What else could he say? Rosenzweig created a formula that made the Israeli deserts bloom like a greenhouse. Had been his best friend ever since Buck profiled him in the Global Weekly's New Maker of the Year. What? Best friend ever?
Had been his friend. Well, he called him his old friend.
Yeah.
I'm glad you picked up on this. No, it was 1 year ago.
Oh, okay.
Because they bring it up specifically in the chapter, and I'm like, why did you call him that is literally a new friend.
It's been a wild month.
If you've been friends with someone for 1 year, in what world? You could call them an old friend if you're literally 1 year's, you're 1 year old and you met them in the nursery at the hospital, then you could call someone an old friend.
I'm trying to think of this, and really what it is, you know, post-pandemic, those years were like, you know, 2020, 2021. It's like, whoa, if I met someone at the start of 2020, I'm like, that's my old friend. Because time doesn't mean anything. And they had a friggin' rash.
That is true. That is going to fuck with your sense of time. And, like, the fact that Buck and Heim met each other.
Oh, yeah.
When they were being... That was when Russia was trying to attack Israel and like, all the Russian planes exploded and it was crazy. Yeah. So, you know what? Fair enough. They're all friends. They've been through two insane god magics happen. And technically, actually three, because Heim was there when the whole...
True.
Stonegal...
Two god, one Satan,
exactly. But Heim doesn't remember that one.
Yeah, so... But maybe it was cemented deep inside of him.
It's in their hearts. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing. I believe that they're close, that they have a close bond. I just thought it was very funny that they said old friends.
You're gatekeeping old friends.
I am gatekeeping old friends, because... Words have meaning. Old means something.
All right, calm
down. Doesn't mean a year.
It's okay. It goes on to say, where were you, Dr. Rosenzweig asked. That's the question of the ages, Buck said. Where are any of us?
This makes me want to chop Buck's head off.
Yeah.
The fact that he can't lie at all, because I'm just like getting so mad, like, just lie. It'd
just
be so
lie.
Easy to make up a lie. But he's like, no, this will make God mad at me. So I have to say stupid shit like, where are any of us? On the planet, you dumb bitch! What are you saying?
Yeah, don't go all metaphysical on it.
I'm getting mad right now. I'm getting pissed off at Buck. I hate his ass.
He doesn't do a good job here, I'll say that.
No, he doesn't do a good job either time, in my opinion. No,
totally.
I mean, like, to be fair, trying to, like, not lie... Mm-hmm. And not tell the truth in front of the Antichrist, pretty hard. I don't know what I would say. Well, I would lie, is what I would do.
And then see what happened?
Yeah.
He has superpowers. I don't think the book even goes that deep on him being like, well, I can't lie, it's a sin. I think he's just kind of, he's bucking right now, I would say.
That also makes me want to kill him.
Speaking of bucking.
Oh my God.
Heim says that the salmon here is delicious and Buck should order it. But apparently Buck always made it a habit to ignore recommendations at restaurants.
This made me so mad.
This is so dumb.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Right. Do you know more about my local pub than I do, you dumb fuck?
Never take recommendations.
It's like, no, there's only one good thing here. It's only the steak tips. Nothing else is good.
Everything's
here.
Bad.
What
He's
are you
like,
doing?
I'm eating these nachos. I don't care.
It's like, you're eating nachos at an Irish place? And Buck's like, this wasn't so good, but I'll never
admit it. Bro, they put mayonnaise on top of these. These suck.
Bucked again. How does he do it?
Yeah, does he eat like trash everywhere? Like never eating the recommended food?
I just think that, like, did they have a meeting about this when they're figuring out the characters, like really dig down deep? Or was Jenkins just on one? He's like, this is funny.
I think I don't know. I feel like it's got to be that. Because, like, what a weird character, like, trait to have.
And we can tell that he's so freaked up about the whole situation that he orders
salmon. Because he just orders the salmon. He actually takes the recommendation. He's like, what's wrong with me?
What's happening, man? So good.
So they talk a little bit about Nikolai Carpathia, aka the Antichrist. And Heim is just like, really like, man, he's just so great, isn't he? We just love Nikolai Carpathia. Buck's like, Like trying to just kind of like non-committally like keep the conversation going. Yeah,
it's
going.
Like, I can't believe he stepped up to be the UN leader. It's like, but you know, he did all that weird shit with the Botswana guy, right? And he's like, oh, well, it was mutual. And, you know, he was divided loyalties between Botswana and the UN. And like, well, is not Carpathian, one of my Romanian friends.
Well, speaking of weird stuff in the book about Africa, let me read this little chunk that Haim is talking to, saying to Buck about Nikolai Carpathia. He speaks so many languages that he hardly ever needs an interpreter, even for the chiefs of some of the remote tribes in South America and Africa. The other day, he shared a few phrases understood only by an Australian Aborigine.
Hell yeah, okay.
What?
Nikolai's out here doing the work. He's an ally.
Okay, can I say that this felt a little bit... I feel like the things that they are, like, associating the Antichrist with are very funny. Because I feel like what they're kind of being saying here is like, you meet a person that speaks a bunch of languages? Can't trust them. It might be the Antichrist. Or like, that's not Christian.
Yeah.
To know a bunch of languages. Like, yeah. Like, it's just like, maybe they're not doing that, but I think there's a little bit of that.
It's,
like,
it's... I don't believe they are, but it is tough, right? Because we kind of do dig into that. Like, what is the intention for the words for which they're saying? The issue with Nikolai is it does go both ways. Like, if they did believe all these things were bad, right?
Yeah.
They get away with it because he's the Antichrist. So, of course, it's bad. But they're also trying to do a good job of showing why people would trust the Antichrist.
Right, why they're impressed by him.
Because, like, later, Buck is in, like, God damn it. Is he really the Antichrist? This guy rocks. Yeah. Damn it. So that's the only reason why I think you can kind of argue it away, that they're not technically saying it's bad to know a lot of languages.
Yeah.
It's intense, the amount of languages he knows. But that's Satan for you, baby.
I'm not saying that they're, like, directly saying that. I think they're, it's more like an association of, like, oh, this hoity-toity person who wants peace and he speaks tons of languages and blah, blah, blah. I think it's like they're associating a type of person with that, I think, is more. And I don't think it's intentional. I think it's just part of, like,
we'll
the
have
whole...
to see when we meet Ben Judah.
Yeah, yeah, because again, I don't remember, like, much of anything about him, so.
Me either.
So, yeah, so while this conversation is happening, Buck is like, I wonder if Nikolai uses his hypno powers on Haim to get him to give, you know, the formula over to use for diplomacy shit.
Because he's so into it. It's so crazy. And, like, no one would get it before, and now Israel's rich as hell, and as we know, there was a huge 9-minute war over it, and now there's like, here you go, whatever. I also think it's so strange how they write Buck here, because Buck's like, what are you even getting out of giving away the formula? You're already rich as fuck, what are you gonna do with it? The thing that makes your formula so good is its exclusivity. And I'm like, Buck, you're a bad person.
Right, like, I was like, what the f- again, like, the whole formula thing is just like, so you're saying, like, you have the ability to, like, basically, like, fix world hunger, and you're not. Like,
right.
And, like, the fact that Buck's just like, well, yeah, obviously you'd want to keep it from everyone.
And
like,
I think a good chunk of this chapter, not a good chunk, well, depends on what you mean by good chunk, is recap. So there's a little bit of that. So sometimes they say things again, and my brain's like, they're still saying this shit? It's like, oh, wait.
It's because we're still in that, like, intro, like, the beginning of the book where they're kind of like, remember the thing we said in the last book? Like,
exactly. So it's like, are they really tripling down on their anti-Russia stance, being like, imagine if Russia got the goddamn formula. God. Their country big. It'd be bad. Or are they just like, that's what we said last time, and we have to reiterate it. But that really, it turns out that Nikolai found the one thing they've always wanted. Peace.
Oh, world peace, guys. Or actually, not world peace.
Well,
that's the eventual goal, is world peace. But for now, it's... peace for Israel. They're gonna basically. Do they get into like the details here of the whole? Yeah, okay, they do. They can talk about the disarmament. So this is where the plan starts to, like, make more sense. Because, like, right. before when they were like, oh, yeah, everyone's going to have to give up.
Yeah.
Destroy 90% of their weapons. Give the 10%, like, remaining 10% to the UN. It's like, literally, how are they going to ever, like,
right. It was so magical thinking that I'm like, how is this going to happen?
And then turns out they do have a way, which is that they are going – people – so basically countries can apply –
yeah.
To get this formula, to get a license for the formula for, like, a specific amount of time, I think is the way I understood
yeah,
it.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
And if you do not give over your weapons appropriately, you will never be – your country will never be able to exactly. apply and get the formula.
Yeah, it's like how credit card companies treat, like, sites like OnlyFans and other
yeah,
things
exactly.
with sex. If you have a sex on your website and you use our credit card fees – you will never, ever, ever get to use our credit card machines ever again.
God. We live in hell. That makes a lot more sense. And we find out here, too, that the whole peace deal is for, guess how many years, you guys?
Seven.
We love okay. 7 years. That's okay. so convenient. That's the length of the tribulation.
I thought it was really cute that Nikolai was like, they're like, 10? Five? Like, yeah. Let's just do 7.
Why don't we just do 7?
And then we can re-up it later. And I think it must be so interesting to be the avatar of Satan. I mean, like, why the fuck am I saying all these random numbers? Like,
yeah.
I didn't like the number 7 back in the day, but now I'm always saying it.
I'm drawn to it. I can't help myself.
Because, again, right now, Nikolai, we don't quite understand what's going through his mind.
Yeah, I still feel not fully clear on, like, what he is aware of, like, if he's like, I am literally, well, I guess he's not literally Satan. He's
right.
different.
I
but
think
he's
the
like, I'm the servant of Satan.
Yeah, because
like, does he know that?
I think the lore for the Bible is that, like, 3.5 years-ish,
yeah.
he kind of is literally Satan, maybe? Or, if not literally
Satan.
Is
Satan, like, comes upon his body?
Yeah,
and, like,
it's not just, like, you know, right now he's a warlock. Who
right,
is,
who has a very powerful patron.
Exactly. And we don't know to what extent he is actually talking to him or whatever, but I think the lore from the Bible and, you know, what I was taught and things like that is halfway through the tribulation, something happens, and then he becomes basically filled up with either A, literally Satan, or B, explicit Satan juice.
He's got that Satan juice coursing
right,
through his veins.
Right, so right now, you know, he's just tapped into the Satan network, but later he's going to have that Satan juice.
Yeah, yeah, it's like right now he's on, like, Satan Wi-Fi, but then he's going
right.
to be plugged in directly to Satan.
And I'll say the thing that makes me more confused, and we'll find this out in, I don't know, 2 years, is Nikolai's reaction to when that happens. I have always thought is really interesting. So I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
I don't remember any of that shit. So I'm excited to get to it as
hell
well.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah, so we find out at the kind of the end of the lunch here that the whole reason that Buck has been brought to New York is because Nikolai is going to ask him to join him at this peace treaty signing in Israel.
Yeah.
So we'll
next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more later.
Yeah. All right. I think as a couple, we need to try and not scream. Let's be rational here and talk about how fucking horrible Chloe is in these chapters. Somehow it's worse.
She's so fucking annoying. Like, I was getting so mad.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about having to talk about this.
Yeah.
Like, for the podcast, just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like, ooh, we're talking about Antichrist stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking about peace treaties and the formulas. And it's like, Chloe is feeling sad.
Exactly.
Like,
and
I don't care.
It was annoying when she was, like, interrupting Bruce, like, read the Bible or whatever.
Yeah.
But now our main man is about to talk to the Satan man, and we have to cut over to Chloe. I want to die. Because Rayford's chapters are basically just him trying to get fucking home. And it's funny to me, for sure, because Rayford's like, all right, done, finally can go home. And then every time he picks up the goddamn phone, some bullshit happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn. And it's hilarious what ends up happening, because what we were afraid of was that Chloe was going to swing by Buck's apartment.
And Buck stupidly didn't say, hey, actually, I have to go to New York, so don't do that. So she did stop by, And I don't think I actually brought this up in the last episode because it felt like such a, like, nothing thing, but it actually became important plot-wise in this one, which is that Bug got the like, office assistant lady that he talked to, and was that the beginning of the book? When did that happen? Whatever. The Chicago office lady that, like, he was, like, giggling and talking with went to his apartment and, like, dropped stuff off for him for work reasons. But Chloe saw that.
Right.
She saw the assistant dropping boxes off in Bug's apartment. And then later, she, like, did she, like, ask her or call her? What was the deal with
I forget
that?
What the exact timeline so it is, like, as the book puts it out. But so let's just say, basically, here's what happens. Chloe goes to Bug's apartment, sees the assistant in either now or later, goes fucking crazy mode. And I think right at the first time, she just sees that this girl has a ring on. So
right.
Either now or later, she either A, walks up to her, or B, I think she does, like, talk to her in
person. Yeah, she does. No, she does. That's why I was like, did she go to the office? Like, where did she see her? I forget.
Think she sees her at the apartment, and then I believe she calls the office. And it's like, oh, Buck's not even there, so of course. So what she jumps to conclusions is that Bug is engaged to this girl.
Yeah.
Because this girl had a crazy person walk up to her and be like, hey, how are you? What are you doing? You know Bug? I don't think she said that.
No, she didn't do that.
She's like, what are you doing here? It's like, oh, I'm dropping off some things. And Chloe was trying to be nonchalant, but was probably failing at it. And said something along the lines of, like, I feel like I recognize you or something like that. And Alice or whatever her name is like, well, maybe you saw me with my fiance or something.
Right. So that's when Chloe's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Bug is actually engaged. What a dog. What a dirty dog.
What a dirty dog, daddy.
But, like, again, lots of, like, comical, like, Frasier-style miscommunications happening.
Yeah, I was going to say this would be a bad episode of Frasier.
Well, if it was an episode of Frasier, they'd make it funny and good.
That's true.
Unlike this book, which is bad.
Yeah.
So
it's so bad. I cannot believe how... It's very much a situation where we didn't know how good we had it when she was, I don't know, we're looking back fondly with how annoying she was last chapter.
I miss her book one Chloe. Like,
I do miss book one Chloe.
Like, her becoming Christian maybe has ruined her, actually.
Yeah, hopefully maybe in she the gets, next chunk, Buck will come home and they'll kiss or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like, I feel like once they get past this, like, weird,
it's smooth,
like,
sailing.
I can't deal with this, like, if you guys would just talk to each other, you could just fix this.
Literally
just, like, assuming things.
What emotions do women have? Like, well, they're stupid.
They're stupid, they're petulant,
they're jealous.
Yeah, they're jealous.
They're always wrong.
They're always making assumptions.
I just can't believe that she would jump, like... How would she assume that Bug never told them that he has a fucking fiance?
Yeah, it's very stupid.
It's so stupid.
I mean, she is 20 years old.
But she's in college.
Yeah,
like, so she should have, like, annoying hipster brain for a second, you know? Have, like, oh, I have an open mind.
Oh, my God.
I do the mandala. So, yeah, it sucks. Here's all it is. Flowers show up. Boom.
Oh, my, yeah, it. I forgot about that part.
We love it.
Yeah.
Ray,
and she's, like, so pissed. She's like, I'm going to throw him in the trash.
I'm going to shit on him.
She's so mad about it. Oh, it's dumb.
It freaking sucks.
It's stupid ass Bug. It's like, me and my Bug's like, oh, God, I'm about to meet with the Antichrist.
Yeah, it literally cuts back. Oh, it's so bad because, like, they're freaking about the stupidest shit. And I get it. They do want to give, like, a break in the quote-unquote tension, because if it was just Bug ramming you hard, you know, you'd lose some sensation, I would say.
I guess. I don't know. I was like, what if I just, like, skip these parts? I mean, I essentially did, like, read the parts with, like, Chloe and Rayford, like, so fast.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, cool, nothing's happening
Well, sometimes
here.
They're, like, a big paragraph.
Exactly. Like, those, like, again, just the cuts, guys. Come on.
Come on.
Jeremy Jenkins, what are you doing?
I get what you're trying to do, but the answer is make it more interesting.
Yeah, make Chloe in Rayford's section more interesting.
Yeah, it's easy. Well, it's probably hard, whatever. Anyways, back in the good stuff.
Yeah.
Bug and Heim are waiting, like, in the vestibule, like, sort of area of the cool guy zone in the UN. And they're just like, damn, this looks nice as hell. And, you know, here we are. We cut through. It's in media res, so to speak. It's not like the book sometimes does where they get a fucking cab and order more sushi or something like that. They're like, no, It's like towards the end of Haim's story, to the extent that Buck isn't even listening because he's so stressed out.
Yeah, like fully not listening, and like gets called out by Haim, like, "You're not listening to me at all, are you?"
Yeah, it's very funny. And Buck wasn't listening to one of the most important characters in the book that gets introduced at this point. But the phrase that I liked that was happening, and again, extremely goes into the stuff that we are asking and the stuff that we like. As long as we kind of forget that these books are a psyop, but it says, he was praying silently, not knowing if his foreboding sense of evil was psychological, because he knew Nikolai Carpathia was nearby, or if the man truly admitted some sort of demonic aura detectable only to the followers of God.
Nikolai's AOE effect, you know, he just gives out bad vibes.
He gives
for
a micro radiation,
like 60 feet radius around him.
Yeah, he's like Better Call Saul's brother.
Yeah,
we started watching Better Call Saul.
Jimmy. What was his name? Slippin' Jimmy.
Weird show. We like it. But turns out that Haim is talking about Rabbi Shon ben Judah. I have not heard.
I think it's Zion.
Zion,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Because it's that letter in Hebrew. Is like,
yeah. That makes sense because, Jesse in the Discord was like, oh, have you met Zion yet?
I'm like, yeah. I think it's like Zion ben Judah.
You mean Shon? Sean?
Sean?
Sean ben?
Yeah. It's like a TS, like,
that makes sense.
Sound together.
And the basic gist is he's an incredibly smart student, but he was like very devout. I don't know how old Rosenzweig is, but I guess this other old guy, or maybe he's not that old.
I think he's like less old than Haim. Mm-hmm. Maybe Haim's like 60s.
Yeah, and this guy's like 30, 40.
Like, yeah, exactly. Because that was like, he was Haim's student.
Yeah, and he's super smart. Everyone loves him, but he's super devout.
And he's a religious Jew.
Exactly. And apparently, 3 years ago, Israel or whatever commissioned him to do a study on how they may recognize the Messiah when he comes.
This is hilarious to me.
It's so funny.
Like, the concept that Israel would do this, would commission a 3-year study.
It just ends in like the first month of the fucking tribulation. That's an odd coincidence, don't you think?
Well, it's also just like very funny because like I work in the like construction world. So like I know like the government will often be like, we are going to produce a report.
Yeah.
Like we are going to do a study on the thing and the end result is this report that will tell you things.
Yeah.
And like the idea that someone like the Israel is doing that kind of a report, like not about like, oh, like, would we be better off to make this neighborhood, like, mixed use? Or, like, add bike lanes?
Should we bulldoze this section of the West Nile?
Yeah, but instead it's like, no, we need to figure out how to figure out who the Messiah is.
Right, and it's kind of interesting because Haim's like, I used to just thought they're all fun stories that make you feel good or make you think and introspective and yada, 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 yada. So, I mean, my understanding is that's, like, a broadly somewhat consistent thing, right? Of folks of the Jewish faith. Obviously, you can't paint with a wide brush,
which is why
it's more insane that the state or whoever would
organize
this.
What? Like, why would they? Like, that would be very strange. Yeah. I think.
But hey, man, they'll figure out who it is, and maybe it's Nikolai. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Nikolai's the Messiah as well. But Chaim's a real one because he says, religious people, Jewish or otherwise, still haven't impressed me any more than the atheist with a good heart.
This is the thing.
What's up?
I hate this though because like obviously like now Haim is being the Chloe and that like he's saying correct things.
Yes.
but we agree with him, but we know the writers of the book do not. And it's like, oh, this is him being foolish.
Right.
And we not can't actually ever, knowing things.
We can't ever give the writers the benefit of the doubt because they're bad. They're bad men.
Yeah, yes, they are. Let me look real, because there was like a thing in this section too, like about Judaism that I was just like, what? Okay. We actually kind of skipped something.
Okay.
That I want to talk about a little bit more. So sorry. Going back to the whole disarmament and like destroying the weapons thing, we didn't get to the real enforcement part of that.
Mm.
Which is that if you get the formula, you give over your weapons. And basically, any country that threatens Israel, immediate extinction.
Yeah.
Like, the UN will blast your country off of the fucking face of the earth.
Glass factory, your place. Yeah. Sorry, parking lot, city, USA.
Okay, sorry, guys. I'm like, flipping back through my note, like, my underline.
You're in the word. You're jumping back
I'm in the word. Guys, I am drinking in the word right now. No, the part that I wanted to kind of bring up, that which is also how I'm being a real one, he says, Cameron, history has shown our God to be capricious when it comes to our welfare. From the children of Israel wandering 40 years in the desert, to the Six-Day War, to the Russian invasion, to now, we do not understand him. He lends us his favor when it suits his eternal plan, which we cannot comprehend. Mm. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that...
And then he says the line of, like, God helps those that helps himself.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, yeah, the understandings of, like, Judaism and, like, it's just fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny to think, like, well, a Christian's writing this would be like, well, yeah, they probably would be like, damn, we get fucked up a lot, so maybe God is, like, you know, saying something. Anyways, like, I bet he'll say that.
Because, like, the thing is, like, yeah, like, God would seem pretty capricious, like, well, this shit keeps happening to you. And it's like, I don't know. Well, maybe, I don't know. I'm curious if you're a Jewish person listening to this.
Yeah.
How does that, like, fit in with the general way that, right, you know, you see things?
Right, right.
Because I'm always just, like, so curious, like, to compare evangelicals' concepts of Judaism with what is actually in Judaism.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, sorry, I had to go back and talk about that for a second.
It's important. It's important. We also find out that Haim is, like, being a little rascal and is trying to get, like, Ben-Judah assigned as, like, the spiritual lead to Nikolai, and then there's kind of a silly rascal back and forth, because Buck is, like, on edge.
Yeah.
And it turns out that, like, Haim just, like, winks at him and is like, I told Nikolai you're awesome. Why do you think you have so much good stuff coming your way? That's me, baby.
Is your friend? Is your buddy Haim?
Who do you think is telling friggin' Nikolai all this cool stuff? Do you want to go back to Ray and his car?
Oh, my God. I mean, I do like talking about car phones and thinking about car phones. Mm-hmm. That's pretty fun.
Ray, this part was interesting because they explicitly say that his car has a speaker in it.
I didn't pick that up.
I'm like, whoa. Well, I'm wondering, maybe my version has
it. Because I don't know that it did. I don't think it did. I don't remember that, but who knows?
Who knows? Who's to say? This section is about Ray inviting Chloe to dinner, and then she say no, and then she say maybe Buck not go meeting, and then we also think back that Buck implied he was going to ask Chloe to dinner that night.
Yes.
And we love it. We're like, wow, this is so much emotion going back and forth. Will they, won't they? Ross and Rachel all over again.
Oh my God.
Right?
And is this the part where, like, Chloe's like, actually, I'm going to show up a little late to the meeting.
Yeah.
Because Rafer has to get there. Like, again, like, the amount of times they tell us about their logistics, Rafer's like, well, you can either come early with me to the meeting and wait outside, or we can take two cars. And it's like, why is this being included in a book? Like, I don't need to know how many cars you're taking to get to the meeting.
If they didn't say that, I would say on this podcast, how'd they get there?
It's not possible.
If they don't tell me, I don't know how Haim and fucking Buck got to the UN. How'd they get there? They didn't say it.
Damn, you're right. And so now I'm like, that's a plot hole. As we discussed. But no, I do honestly respect that Chloe's like, I'm going to be there fashionably late because I'm not going to be waiting outside with Buck.
Yeah, she was nervous that she was going to get there before and like,
no way, ew.
What if it's just me and him? I don't know what I'm going to say.
Like, I threw your flowers in the trash.
You butt.
Saw your bitch fiance.
Why don't you bring your fiance to this? Do you hate her? You've literally never mentioned her. Like, I don't know what you're saying. You're like, acting very, very emotional.
You're being hysterical right now.
And she is, gang. She is.
I'm becoming misogynist because of this book.
it's tough to do. Well, speaking of not being misogynist, Hattie's back. And we love
Hattie!
To see her.
And she's doing great.
Look at her.
She's looking, like, basically, I can't remember if it's, oh, I guess it has to be Buck because Rafer doesn't see her. Mm-hmm. Basically, Buck is like, she looks, it feels like what he wants to say is she looks expensive.
She looks
stunning. Like, she just looks like very, like, put together in a way that's like, oh, you have, like, nice stuff.
Yeah, you're, like, wearing a business gal girl boss suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's a business bitch now.
Yeah, and instead of looking like a whorish tart, She looks presentable. And, you know, sometimes, ladies out there, here's a little tip from old Tim. Sometimes covering up, you know what I'm saying?
It's more sexy.
Sometimes. Sometimes, here's a hot tip, shoulder pads. Big.
Big them huge.
Like Murphy Brown. Big, like Murphy Brown, gang. Yeah. That's what the boys like.
Yeah, you want your shoulder pads to touch your big hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hairspray. So, this is it, gang. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Our crops are watered. Nikolai.
He's here.
Motherfucking Carpathian.
Oh, so ready to hear his insane non-contraction talking again.
Let's go. Hattie leads them in, says, in 25 minutes time, you will say what's up. And then they go inside. It's Steve, the Antichrist, and Buck, as basically Hattie leads them in. And then Nikolai does this boss-ass move where he's like, oh, come in. Shake your hand with both hands, eye contact.
He loves doing that. That must be like kind of his way of getting his hit.
It's a politician thing for sure. And then he like goes to the conference table and grabs a chair so he can sits down with like one of the boys.
Yeah.
Between him, Steve, and Buck.
There's a lot of like choreography happening in this.
It's very
scene.
Weird.
like we are now moving over here and now we are readjusting because there's only going to be two of us in
right.
the room. Like,
because it's one of those things where you have to kind of ask yourself, did they rehearse this before? Buck, I think, even implies they must have rehearsed this before.
Right, or they have, like, a system that they had to communicate
with
each
other. Which is both interesting, but also super annoying, because it's explicitly to impress Buck.
Yeah.
Which we don't like. No. We don't like him.
He doesn't deserve that. You make him sit on the floor.
Yes. Okay, so let's get the elephant out of the room. Bucky, why did you not show up to the friggin' meeting, okay?
The way that in this section, Carpathia is like, you know the saying, elephant in the room. Yeah. Like, he has to do, like, that
And again,
thing.
They've
like,
reiterated,
yes.
He does not have an accent. That being said, he was like, elephant, yes?
What? Yes, you know elephant.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because it's like, Nikolai, you know, Buck is like a writer. He's an American writer. He knows the phrase elephant in the room. So, like, why are you saying this?
Right.
Like, it feels like part of it. Like, I don't know. Again, I'm getting, like, the weird, like, because cult leaders, like, have, like, a weird cadence and way of saying things.
Right, because Nikolai is weird.
He's a weird guy.
And I think this chapter really does a good job of that, of his, like, sort of performance and his dance. He's not just the perfect charisma ball.
Yeah.
Again, when Nikolai is looking at him and looking hurt when he asks him about the elephant, he's like, God damn it, man, this guy rocks. Because
he really does such a good job
of making Buck feel important that he yearned for it not to be so.
He wanted Carpathia to, like, ruffle his hair.
Right.
And be like, good job, Buck.
Right. Because, like, you know, Carpathia's hot. He's strong enough to make.
Yeah.
Had he not a slattin, he makes Steve look hot now.
Yeah, like Steve is normally in his, you know, his friggin' suspenders.
I ain't got time. I got the news.
Yeah, I gotta kind of loosen my tie up.
Now they said he had like a Euro vibe going off.
Like, like he got his like hair all done. Like,
does he have a fucking high end tie faux hawk? What the fuck? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, does he look metrosexual?
Steve should get earrings, I think.
Like little
like
studs.
That? Yeah.
I think you should make her have a rat tail.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be so cool.
But yeah, so when Buck walks in, like, yes, number one, Hattie dressed very nice. Steve dressed very nice. So he has a conversation first with Carpathia and Steve. And like we said, about why weren't you there? And like, like, Buck is, like, the whole time just like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, what do I say? And what he kind of, like, lands on is, like, he says, I wanted to be there and wouldn't have missed it for anything. And then says, like, the whole day was a blur.
Which, you know, hey.
I mean, like, yeah, like, of things to say. But see, this is where, but again, the problem becomes, but can't, like, fully lie.
Right.
Either. Because Carpathia knows he was there.
Right.
But Buck being all like, it's such a blur, I can't remember. Then that's like, oh, okay, maybe I just, yeah. I hit him with my Antichrist ray too hard, and it made him kind of stupid.
Right, because again, that's what we're saying, is like, it's possible he thinks that Buck just screamed and ran. And,
yeah, exactly.
And since, you know, Nikolai wasn't sure, he just made it so it was like, oh, he was never there.
Yeah,
which we love. And again, we're inside Buck's head.
Right.
So we don't get to see the back and forth, but we can tell, Buck can tell, he's seeing Nikolai's machine working seeing his eyes change. And like, a little bit later on the next chapter, you know, when talking about like his eyes change, like his countenance completely changes and he like bores into him.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's giving him the full blast.
That's the wow,
like, of the Antichrist beams.
Yeah.
At this point, it's not because Steve is there. He could do it, right?
He could, but he's not. Yeah. He's just doing his normal charisma thing.
Exactly.
My like, Buck, my friend, you know, all that.
Buck does weirdly, you know, be a Buck and is like, no matter what, I won't apologize. Because so he's stubborn. Annoying. Not because he doesn't want to lie, but there it's interesting because, like, being inside his head, you see how close he comes to fucking this up.
Yeah, like, really. Because that's why, like, I felt like this part was stressing me out, like, reading it. Because I was just like, oh my god, like, why are you doing this? Like,
right, because I think you're supposed to be, like, on Buck's side. But, like, later in the next chapter, he's like, I could have, if this was a month ago, I would have stood up and cussed him out. I'm like, you're just being a shitty dude, man. Get out of here. You fucking don't call me a liar. I tip 18% and ground myself when I have 3 martinis before I fly.
Oh, my God.
That's bullshit. Yeah. Like, get out of here. Get out of here. Regardless. That part was bad, but all the other parts are pretty good.
I mean, again, Nikolai doing Antichrist shit.
Right. And he also mentions that when he was getting Nikolai'd in the UN, what really helped him, and probably saved his life, was not responding when, you know, Nikolai went around everyone in that UN room, and Buck was the only one that didn't say anything when they asked him questions. So that's probably why Nikolai wasn't too sure. He's like, I'll just make sure. I'll wipe everyone else's memory and whatever. We'll see what happens. So because of that, you know, Buck doesn't want to apologize, doesn't know what's happening, doesn't want to go this way or the other with, you know, accidentally saying the wrong thing. And we do, it's interesting because I've been lamenting, I say interesting too much. And it's been like on a couple different podcasts. I was like, this is interesting. It's like, no, it's cool. And I think I said it last episode, right? And it really came to my forefront. Gotta get openthesaurus.com.
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes you get in a verbal. A path
right
that
now,
he ends up saying.
Maybe I think the word interesting tastes good, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. But next chapter, he does flub. And it kind of makes you look through this thin ice situation on a different playing field. Because you're like, oh, shit. Because he says one wrong thing next chapter. And then Nikolai goes, huh.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is like very stressful. Because, you know, it's a very fine line that he's having to like walk here. But I still feel like he did a bad job.
Sure.
Like, but again, I get it, but
I think he did, but he also did a good job. And I think the thing that sucks is remembering how easy it is to just kind of play dumb and like as people, right?
Yeah.
And then like if you just don't say anything, and you're just like, yeah, man, I don't know what happened, they're not gonna keep grilling you. In like, most situations.
Like, okay, that's weird that you won't answer me, right. So I guess I'll just stop.
Yeah, and then Nikolai's even like, okay, it's clear you're not going to apologize for an excuse or anything.
Yeah,
I'm pissed.
Yeah, he does not like that.
Steve, get out of here.
So Steve gets dismissed and,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Then Nikolai goes back and sits in his big chair behind the desk.
Yeah.
So, because, like, yeah, before it was like, oh, we're all equals. Like, we're talking together. And now it's like, no, now Daddy's here.
Yeah.
Daddy's here to talk to you, Buck.
And it's a really weird choreographed thing because he goes immediately kind of, like, robotically is what how I interpreted it. And then sat behind the desk, presses a button, doesn't say anything. Hattie comes in, takes the chair that Nikolai got out and puts it back.
It's like, you can do it yourself. You gotta call her in here in the chair.
I feel like it's just like a display of power.
Yeah, totally. Power and just like having yourself together. Like, there's a correct way. We're formal. We're doing
exactly
it in a certain
way. I remember seeing some sort of formal dining business guy thing of something like that. It's like, oh, if you drop a fork, you don't pick it up.
Right.
You let the staff do it for you.
You let the help do that.
You let the help do it.
Right. So it's like maybe it's like, he can't move the chair because that's beneath him now.
Exactly. But
that's why he has an assistant.
Exactly. That's her job. He's a job creator. But Buck does say that even though he sits behind the big-ass desk, his Nikolai charm is still 110% to the extent that it's like, man, he can still do it. He's sitting with me.
I can
back
feel
there,
it. I can feel it even though I'm saved.
Nikolai wants to see that story, baby. You know.
Oh, right. Yeah, because Buck's writing a big story about all the different ideas about what happened with the disappearances. And yeah, Buck's kind of like, honestly, your idea kind of like old news now.
It's like, did you change your mind? He's like, well, no. It's like, well, okay, well, if you believe it's this thing, then I don't need anything new from you. And Nikolai's like, but Steve said you might want a few quotes. Like, no, you've talked about it enough, and it's boring if you see.
Right. Like, that's not really newsworthy. You're like, damn, like, okay, just telling the fucking Antichrist he's not newsworthy.
Which I thought was rad, because it's like, you know that Nikolai has to have his little fingies in any PR pie that he's
getting into. Yeah, I think he was like, excuse me, you what? Don't want a quote from me?
This is highly irregular.
Yeah.
I bet he hates this, but is fascinated
by
this exchange.
Yeah, I bet he's pissed.
Yeah. Because, like, wait, you're not doing everything I say. I like you, Buck. You're straight.
Yeah, I do think there's a little bit of it that he's like, this is why I want you on my team.
Next chapter, Buck is, like, doing the part where Jennifer says that Buck is doing bad. Nikolai responds positively to that.
Yeah. No, it's like, okay, actually, it turns out he likes that for some reason.
Yeah, because Buck is being, like, real shitty about it. But again, he's talking to the Antichrist, so I'm not really gonna...
I don't know whatever. What the better way is to deal with this,
And, you know, Nikolai's a billionaire, so I'm not gonna defend him, even though he rocks. I'm sorry.
Okay? Yeah.
So, the big deal, right, that Haim alluded to before is that freaking Buck is gonna be invited to the peace treaty with Israel in 1 week, but we find out more explicitly...
Yeah.
Damn, he's gonna sit at the big table.
Yeah.
He gets at the big table.
Like, at the delegation table.
I'll tell you what, if I was Buck, I'd be like, I ain't trying to sit at no more big tables.
No, it's very dangerous to do that.
Who the fuck are you gonna kill at this
point? Yeah, like, who's gonna get murder-suicided at this one?
It'd be so sick if everywhere Nikolai went, it's like, my two friends, they are dead with
they
one
are,
bullet.
No, how does no. this keep happening?
Oh, mamma mia.
I like that he's revamped in Italian accent. Mm-hmm.
That's where Romania is.
I mean,
Rome,
yeah, Romania.
Obviously.
So Buck says to this, like, ooh, but the Global Weekly has a policy. I can't accept gifts.
Right.
Which is very funny.
Yeah.
Right now in our world. Because
so
apparently it's just fine if you get a bajillion dollars.
He's not a
from billionaires. It's fine.
He's not a Supreme Court justice, Jim.
Yeah, he's not
he's
allowed.
He's a journalist.
Yeah. But anyway, so they, like, Buck tries to wiggle out of
how
that
way. How sick would
way.
It be if, like, Epstein was mentioned by name?
Oh, my God. I mean, he was doing stuff in this time.
This really rich, nice guy that always took good people on vacations.
Yeah.
He got raptured.
Oh, my God. Epstein gets raptured.
How much do you think that they, like, would pay, like, go to their buds and be like, if you give me $1 million, we'll write a character that's essentially you and make them good, and they got raptured, and you're not bad, actually. And they're like,
I mean, that's one way to crowdfund.
Is that, that's going to come up in book four? Like, yeah, we'll say, remember 4 years ago when Jeffrey Epstein got raptured? And everyone's be like, that's weird.
Like, that seems, that doesn't seem good. Seems like maybe that cardinal in the Catholic Church was correct that the bad people got taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Henry Kissinger, you got raptured.
You got raptured. So Bugs are like, well, I can't do that because it's against policy. And Carberry's like, ha, 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 that's so funny because, I don't think you're going to be working there in a week. Mm-hmm. Bugs like, excuse me?
You know something what? I don't, bud?
It turns out that this is the core question of the meeting. And Nikolai's like, literally like, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Doesn't he like literally like reference The Godfather?
The next time he does say, pardon the joke, but I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
So.
Because again, it's like Buck saying, do you know something I don't know? And then Buck's like, damn, that's why I'm here. Wow. Isn't that interesting, reader? Shut up. You don't need to tell me that.
Well, I also.
But also books sometimes do that. It's sometimes good to be like, so explicit, right?
Yeah, but why are these chapter breaks? Why are these chapter breaks this way?
No, this one's good.
Because it's the same scene. It just picks up this exact same scene.
No, this one's good because it's like a quote-unquote cliffhanger because it's like, you don't know what he's going to offer him.
I mean, okay, that is true. And I will say that when I was reading this and I told Tim this, that I did have to read a little bit into the next chapter.
So
I guess checkmate. It got me, but I just think it's a really strange to, like, divide a chapter and it just pick up in the exact same place the last chapter ended at.
That is the weird part, is, like, they technically should go over to Rayford.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's very strange. It should be Rayford.
A cliffhanger that is solved at the beginning of the next chapter.
Like, I can see it. I can see it. It's down there. It's literally right there.
Hey, do you know how books work? Like, oftentimes you see the left one and the right page.
Yeah, like it's on like the same two like page spread.
I love the idea of you just saying, I can see you.
Like, why do you think this is the cliffhanger? I can like literally see what happens.
Yeah, I forget in which media. So the complaint was like, ooh, big cliffhanger. And then the beginning of the next episode was a somewhat recent one of like, all right, we did it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was probably some Disney show, whatever. Either a Star Wars or a Marvel. I'm not too sure which. But, okay. Chapter 6.
Okay. I like the singing.
Yeah.
I like your note here. Tim says, before Nikolai takes advantage of the chapter break suspense, he stalls and goes on a tangent.
So this is so stupid, but it's kind of...
They're edging us.
They're edging us. So this is like a new chaotic version of that thing for which we were talking about, where it's like, instead of going to Rey or another character... Because, like, what you have to do is you have to have a Game of Thrones, right? You gotta have Bran over where the fuck else and Cersei over here. So that when Cersei ends on a fucking banger, you're like, okay, I guess I get to walk around Jon Snow counting cabbages and shit like that. This, they're like, what if they were still together and then we just have one of the characters be like, let me talk about something else.
We just changed the subject. We're just gonna talk about something different now.
Because, and it's funny to, like, reiterate how weird... Carpathia is in that not all of his charms work on Buck. He's literally like, man, this is so annoying how he keeps doing this.
It is a habit of annoyed.
Because if you read it from like a negative perspective, which you're supposed to, is Nikolai's just bragging about you know, being smart and doing this and like having witty things to say.
I
and
am
things
powerful.
Like that. Yeah. And he, for some reason, maybe he wants to set the bedrock, and I, this actually does make sense, unfortunately, because what Nikolai's doing is he's rewinding the clock a little bit from the chapter break suspense, but what he's doing is reminding Buck of his fucking power.
No, absolutely. No, this is all, like, a power, like, play. Mm-hmm. All of it. And I think, I mean, like we were saying, the way he's, like, choreographing everything and the chairs being moved and blah, 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 like, this is all to be, like, I'm in charge. Yeah. Like, no... I'm in charge of this conversation, and we're going to talk about what I want to talk to about now.
Yeah, just kind of like a dog shaking its prey. I'm going to move you back and forth, keep you on edge. And basically, this part of Chapter 6 is a light recap of all the things that went down in Book 1 regarding people dying and getting blown up and being murdered.
They really did go through the body count a little bit, which was fun to remember. Like.
And much like Nikolai being like, do you know the phrase, elephant in the room? Is like, you remember when that guy died? Remember that? Did you, if I can say, Buck, do you remember that car bombing you were almost in? And do you remember how I covered that up for you? Wow. Crazy. Wow.
And right? Didn't I also tell you I was going to deal with Stonegal? Mm-hmm. And then Buck's like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, well, it got dealt with.
Isn't that like divine providence? Isn't that lucky?
Yeah, because is this where he like brings up the concept of like karma, basically? Yeah. Like, yeah. And he's like, oh, well, because it's like, it actually does make sense because he's like kind of like getting ahead of the whole story, like in a way with Buck. Like, he's like, well, I didn't cause that to happen. Right. The universe caused it to happen because I'm such a good person. Yeah. And this solved the problem. And isn't that great?
This section is very weird because it's just, Nikolai is going back and forth on a couple things. And part of it does feel like he's, like we said, setting that bedrock of power. The other part is, I think, unfortunately, he just likes to gloat. In his weird, humble way, but he's earned it.
I mean, I was gonna say, doesn't he? Isn't he allowed? He's the Antichrist.
Because he goes off on the whole thing of like, well, you know, like you said, there's a problem with Stonegall and Cawthryn, and, you know, RIP to them, I guess, but like, it turns out they're very bad, so, you know, isn't that interesting?
Like, that isn't it best, helped us.
It's for the best. And then he kind of switches tactics to be like, sometimes, man, I don't fucking know what's even happening. My life like a fucking movie.
Yeah, he was like, just a month ago, I was just a member of the Romanian, like, Senate or whatever the fuck, and now I'm the head of the UN.
Man, people just be giving me jobs and shit. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm guessing this is Carpathia's way of just being like, obviously, things are going well for me, buddy. Don't you want to come and join my crew?
Right, because he's like, Buck, do you believe in luck? No. Okay, well, what about karma? No. Well, I mean, I think he literally says, I think my friends in the East will agree that this is karmically positive. And I think that's really funny. He even says, his life is going so good, it's almost enough for an atheist to believe in God.
Which is a very funny thing to say.
Nikolai is so close to being saved.
But what if the Antichrist
Buck should
got
try
saved?
It. He Buck should try it.
Yeah, he should. Like,
he could say, like, get rid of all of it.
Buck, if you were a better Christian, you could convert the Antichrist.
Oh, but what's this? The Antichrist has no choice?
He can't get saved?
Is it? I think it might be some of the extended universe Nikolai shit of like, he's like made in a vat or something like that. Because I think in the prequel, someone was saying that he's like a test tube baby or.
Oh my god.
Made.
See,
He's like the man's version of Jesus, right?
Oh my god.
And that's why he's not technically. He's not even a person, you know? I don't know. It's insane. I'm very excited to finish this series and then go back.
And read that weird shit.
Or maybe we should. I don't know. I'll have to ask someone that's read it. Like, how much of the main series does it spoil?
Right.
None. But maybe we can do some of those weirder books as Patreon content.
Yeah.
But if it's important, we'll have to jump back.
Yeah, we will. Well, because then there's all the teen stuff and like, who even knows?
Teen stuff, I think, should be Patreon.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But so the other ones.
The prequels.
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited. Hey, before we get to Ray's car update.
Oh, I was ready. Let's talk about car stuff.
No. Nick, this is where it gets a little rough because, you know, remember that good ass scene chapter break? Well, they're gonna do it four more times.
Yeah.
With Nikolai being like, hey, this time I'm not gonna say no. I'll make it so good for you, baby.
Yeah. Come
shit
on.
Like that. So, but yeah, whatever. Here we are back to Ray. He's still in the fucking car. This guy can't get a break.
he goes from plane to car.
He's driving. He talking on phone. He wants to talk to Bruce about the note that Hattie gave him regarding the friggin' 777.
I think you mean the 757?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. It's a 777, they say it. No, and what that means. And it's just really funny thinking about, like, Bruce actively deteriorating, disheveled, can't sleep, can't shower. And one guy is like, I'm gonna go see the Antichrist, I need help. He's like, fuck, okay, I gotta help you.
All right, I guess,
And then Ray's like, man, what does this mean?
I got this weird note.
Like, your problems do not matter.
Well, this one kind of does, though.
This one does end up mattering.
Because because it's from Hattie, who's the personal assistant to the Antichrist. Yeah. So, you know.
Man, their life like a movie.
But again, let's just remember for a second. The note said that the new Air Force One is that plane that Rayford just got certified
well,
to fly.
We find out later that they... I mean, I was going to say, this is stupid. But they're sending Air Force One to pick up Nikolai. And to me, that is Chekhov's Air Force One. But first of all, Ray can't fucking go home. Because he keeps getting jacked off back and forth between the airport and the suburb house. So are we to believe that he's going to go from to Chicago later today and go to goddamn Washington, D.C.? Like, they can't do that. But that is how foreshadowing works. Like, it's so crazy that they would set up later this whole vibe of Nikolai getting on Air Force One. And then them talking about Air Force One, it's so baffling.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do with that. Yeah, like, it sucks. All. I guess hey guys, we might find out in some future chapters what they're trying to do.
I'm sure we will find out, but still. And this sets up the fact that he has to go back to the airport because Earl's mad at him.
Earl's his boss. I don't know if we've like really talked about like his
He's come up before.
So yeah, this is the same guy that was like, hey, Rayford, stop proselytizing at work so much. Come on.
And Rayford's like, okay.
And he calls... He's been trying to get in touch with Ray, and he is like, you gotta come back to the airport.
And you can't do this on the phone. He's like, gotta do it to your face.
No, gotta do it to your face. And he's like, fuck. Oh, that's probably not good.
You rut-row.
Yeah. So, he has to go back to the friggin' airport, and that's that chunk.
Cool. Let's go back to the cool stuff. Buck is kind of actually – I thought this was interesting. Buck couldn't help but be – interested in what Nikolai is saying in sort of a very human way, forgetting that he was, you know, in front of the epitome of all evil. He's like, nope, I'm still super curious. What is the fucking Antichrist going to pitch me with this offer I can't refuse that he keeps saying? And the reason why it's so... triply confusing is because he sets up all that shit about how Nikolai just makes people disappear and how good things happen to him. Then he switches to like pragmatic mode.
Yeah.
That is like, bro, you literally can't afford to snub me again.
Yeah.
You like, skipped out my last meeting. It's just pragmatic.
Like, I'm obviously very powerful. This is going to look really bad.
And it's like, I'm a big deal. Like, I'm not going to do it. And then Buck's like, wait, are you threatening me? What's happening here? And then he's like, no, man, it's just, listen, I'm not naive, Buck. I know the origin of your nickname, and it's part of what I admire so much about you, but you cannot keep bucking me.
Stop bucking me.
It is not that I consider myself anything special, but the world and the news media do. People ignore me at their own peril. He rocks.
Stop bucking me.
Stop bucking me. Stop bucking me.
Oh, man.
He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean being practical? Are you going to murder me? And then he's like, no, I'm not. Would you like me to say a mafia quote? I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Do you guys want to go back to Ray again?
I mean, does anything happen?
No, literally, it's like, it's literally one paragraph.
He goes to the airport.
Yeah. I started writing a different note and looked over. It's like, nope, this is not it. It's not the interesting
part.
No, this
is bad.
Because Ray's part is... weirdly interesting at the end of the book, but they literally just go over for 1 second.
It just takes him so long to get him logistically where he needs to go.
That's what I'm saying.
For reasons.
That's what I'm saying. We gotta go back. We gotta go forward. Oh, if they don't tell us, I don't know where the fuck they are.
I'm so confused right now. Yeah. Where are we?
Nikolai's doing that Nikolai shit where he's like, hey, what's the difference between a rule and a law?
I know this was very funny.
This was very funny.
And... like, I guess, he's not, like, fully wrong on this. Like, sure. Basically, because he gives the example of, like, well, it's against the rules to bring in food to the movie theater, but, like, you're not going to be arrested for it,
right.
You know?
And he's like, I follow laws, but I'm willing to break rules if it makes sense. And then he's like, so it's not illegal, theoretically, for one politician to own a media outlet, right? I know only despots do that.
Yeah, but I'd do it good, though.
I'd do it good, though. And then Buck's like, I mean, it is illegal in America, but okay. And then he goes, what about internationally? And he's like, no, I guess not. And then Nicholas's like,
We'll change the laws, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this was very giving me real Elon Musk, like, because the way he talks, I was like, well, I know that usually it's despots that do this, but I would, of course, never suppress
right.
the news from saying anything they want to say. Like, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Sure about that?
It's very much that Arrested Development quote of, like, don't people in open relationships always have a bad time? Yes. But you know what? We could be different.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what?
Don't only despots own the media, but this time, yeah. I think something might be different. And then he kind of literally says, not just, like, a media corporation, but, like, the media.
Yeah, he wants to just, like, be in charge of it. He's like, it's so bad the way it is now. It'll be better this
what
way.
What if one guy owned all the news?
Who's he think he is? Logan Roy?
Okay.
What is this? Waystar okay. Royco?
Okay, all right.
All my secession heads
what's
out
up?
There.
What's up? Yeah, he wants to buy all media, all of it. And he wants Buck to run one of the things, whether it be a newspaper, cable TV, magazine, who the fuck knows.
Yeah.
Yikes. Nikolai, you're just out here saying shit.
Yeah, like, this art is so crazy. But I guess, like, in this world, it's the whole thing of, like, well, he's getting people to agree to things that they right. would normally be like, no way, what are you talking about? That's
and
crazy.
Towards the end of this chapter, he does have his... get out of jail free card. It's like, he can say all this shit to him.
Yeah.
He can be truthful because at the end, he's gonna
wipe his brain.
Yeah, he's gonna be like, you know what's the difference between me and you? I made this look good. Here come the men in black.
he's gonna do the Star Wars, like, you do not You're, see this.
This is the war crimes you're not looking for. What,
yeah.
What? It's crazy because Nikolai is pitching Buck on... Dude, people want peace. They're tired of all this fucking bullshit. You know, if we have all the goddamn media, then it's gonna be so good. We'll run it great,
we'll world peace.
We'll push it to peace. Everyone's peace. You know what I'm saying? Major influence here, baby. Finally, someone with money is going to do good, baby.
Tim, you picked up on a thing here that I also was losing it over.
This is weird.
Which is that, you know, Nikolai talking about, like, oh, everyone wants world peace, and Buck's like, oh, not the American militia movement. Just like what?
So,
and maybe, actually, I need to look something up, because I'm like, when did the freaking Bundy Ranch situation happen? Because it might have been, like, around this time, actually.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I was like, what the fuck does this mean? Are we supposed to assume they are referencing, like, Jennifer's looking up some sort of American thing?
The Bundy standoff was much later. That's 2014. The one I'm thinking of, there was
like
a different...
Waco or something?
No, there was a different one.
Well, you keep thinking about
yeah.
that. But are we supposed to take this as, oh, it's just like the news in 1997, or... Are we supposed to take it as, we always got militia? Or are we supposed to take it as, in this world there's a weird-ass American militia movement? I think the answer is yes, all the above. Even these right-wing fucking dickheads know that America has a militia at any given moment, and they're fucking freaks.
Okay, guys, so the one I was thinking of, not the Bundy Ranch one, I'm thinking of Ruby Ridge is what I'm thinking of, Randy Weaver. That was in 1992.
What's that?
So it was a similar situation of, like, you come take our guns, and the FBI is like, we're gonna shoot you.
Sick.
And take your shit.
What year is it again? Sorry.
That was 1992. And in the Waco siege was 1993.
Okay, so yeah.
So like that, I feel like militia's in the air in this time
Isn't
period.
Isn't it neat that like right-wing Christians at this time didn't like militias? Weird. Why?
But I actually almost like didn't think that was a negative thing they were saying. I think they were kind of like, giving it up to the militia, like, oh, they're not going to be happy about taking their guns.
I don't know about that. So here's the problem is, like, for me, I'm entering into Buck's chapters with a big scoop of I hate Buck. So Buck is being, like, really, really shitty during all these sections where, like, he's not even responding. He's just, like, not nodding. He's barely responding and saying anything to the Antichrist. And at this point, you know, he's trying to get a jab, I guess you'd say, in. But... Nikolai goes, bless them, Carpathia said, smiling. If we accomplish what I have proposed, do you really think a bunch of zealots running around in the woods wearing fatigues and shooting off pop guns will be a threat to the global community? Which rules?
But this is what I'm saying, though, like, because this is coming out of Nikolai's mouth.
Right.
Like, he's, like, dismissing them.
Yeah, but, well, you know.
Because think about this. You need to remember.
These guys don't do anything.
No, I know. But I'm just saying that generally, like, evangelicals, they, like, in Tim LaHaye, like, those people love the NRA and shit. They love all the crazy gun people. So that's all I'm saying.
It's
like,
probably, this time it's a little different than what we have now, of course. But it's like, you guys are being too weird. You're taking away our money. Gotta be quiet. Gotta be quiet. I'm trying to get on Epstein's plane. You guys gotta stop doing weird shit in the woods. I don't know. I think I see a little bit of such dismissal from both of them without Buck following up that I don't think even, you know, I think it betrays. Because again, these are rich white men who think these guys are low class.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's more just me being like knowing Tim LaHaye and like that like connection between evangelicals and like the NRA is very tight. And like, I don't think they would want to piss off those people.
Right. Right. Well, like, again, because you brought up the weird ass actual crazy like, people, so it's more
all the,
likely
like sovereign citizen people.
Yeah, they're probably just referring to that, and now we're like, wait, every random ass like postal code in the middle of nowhere has a weird militia because you know the Obamas are gonna take your guns and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah, so now we get into a whole thing of how much fucking money Nikolai has and why he has that much money. Mm-hmm. Oh, turns out he's the sole recipient of Stonewall's wealth.
Isn't that interesting?
After he died. Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
And, like, again, we know that he killed him.
Right.
And, like, basically, and Buck is like, what the fuck? How did you manage that? Like, isn't his family going to be super pissed? And he's like, I gave him all like $100,000.
We took care of it.
Or like $1 million or something, like whatever that. It was.
But
like,
it's, Stonewall is explicitly the most wealthy man that's ever lived.
Like, in the world. Yeah.
Like, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. He's like, take any rich person and then like double it, right? It's crazy to think about that. And now Nikolai has all that money and he's basically like, I don't need money.
And not only does he just have money, he now owns a bunch of banks.
Yeah, which is crazy. So he
Now we're getting in New World Order. We're getting into like one world religion, one banking system, one currency.
So my man in a job interview is like, I own all the banks. I would like to own all of the news as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to help me with that?
Would you like that, Buck?
Yes, no. What do we, is that positive?
Yeah. You're a respected journalist. Do you want to help me make state media?
Yeah.
Like, in this new state that I'm creating, which is going to be the entire world?
I'm glad you didn't just say, like, I need propaganda, baby.
Right. I mean, that's like what it is. But guess what? Our regular newspapers are also propaganda half the time. Don't get me started on it.
Oh, no, the state of,
don't get me freaking started on it.
The state of news in our country is so scary and abysmal, but not in the way that most people think about.
Yeah, it's more in the way that reporters will just be like, oh, this is a press release from the police? Well, it must be 100% correct. No need to do any digging here. It's
a
all
bullet,
good.
Which was previously in a gun, previously around a cop.
It found its way into somebody.
Yeah. Or how like a lot of local news stations buy their stories from one.
Well, it's all what the fucking, it's Sinclair Media.
Yeah.
It's like all it is all the way down.
Real scary. It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were having a discussion the other day of like, are we in a dystopia? I'm like, well, yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. But like, it's just not as interesting as we thought it would be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like not dramatic and like cool. Like we're not like wearing like cool outfits or anything. Like
we could.
I mean, like, we gotta go full fucking, Fury Road.
Okay.
Like, let's just...
Duct tape shit to shit.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Oh, yeah, baby, Chrome, let's go. I do like that Nikolai says that the vanishings maybe were the best thing that's ever happened to the planet.
Yeah, that was like, okay, man, we're just doing this.
Let's go.
And like, in the same way, it's like kind of like the same vibe of like, oh, well, Stonewall doing the whole murder-suicide thing. Actually, great. This also actually a good thing, huh?
Yeah.
Isn't that so funny?
He says something along the lines of like, man, we should have stopped having countries as soon as we had, like, our first satellite and, like,
phone
lines and
shit.
And I'm like, I agree with everything Nikolai's saying. And I agree. If every Christian disappeared, the world would be so much better.
I'm just saying, man. It would be.
I would miss my family and my friends. But come on, man.
Come on, man.
You gotta break a few eggs, baby.
Yeah.
But it sucks that the Antichrist is right so often.
Well, and this is what I'm saying is that like the things that they have him say are like just very interesting to me, like the viewpoint, like where he's like, well, we should have open borders. We should all just be one big, global community. Like we should, I should own the media and the banks and just all of it. But the thing that's really funny to me actually in this section is like the way like Nikolai is talking about this. It's like, well, obviously it's like bad. Like he's using this for propaganda. Like, yeah. Guys, that's literally what the evangelicals did. Like that, like again, go back to listen to the episode about dispensationalism, because they got a whole, like, they were putting their message out through the radio, they were putting out books, through television, like, it's just, again, it's the whole thing of, like, the things they, like, accuse other people of doing, they're actually doing them.
They're a lot like Tony Soprano.
Oh my gosh, they're just like Tony Soprano. So true. Except for I like them less.
That is very true. Buck is freaking out, and it's just so funny that he's fully having, like, practically a panic attack as Nikolai is, like, getting more and more manic. Manic is, like, too strong of a word, but imagine, again, he's just his, like, snake hood is frilling out because he's bearing it all.
He's, like, getting, like, drunk off, like, he's getting high off his own supply. Right. Like he's just, like, in my mind, it's like, yeah, his eyes are, like, glowing, like.
Right, exactly.
You know.
I totally agree. But luckily, and isn't this an interesting juxtaposition, Buck finds his port in the storm.
Yeah.
He just thinking about Chloe, baby.
He's thinking about his constant.
His constant.
Which is Chloe.
Wow.
Who's currently so mad at him, meanwhile, which is really funny.
Meanwhile, Chloe just stamping her little feeties and eating Haagen-Dazs back at home.
And like, yeah. And her hair's all a mess. And she's wearing a big sweatshirt.
Throwing bowls against the wall and punching. Yeah. Chloe rocks, and she's horrible.
Yeah,
and
she's 12 years old now.
And Buck is like, damn, how did I ever think that I didn't want to be with this baddie?
I did kind of like that. Like, the being in this, like, dangerous situation made him just be like, oh, well, like, of course. I was being fucking stupid.
I feel like I've read this style of writing before, again, from, like, my fantasy books. So I did kind of have to give it up of, like, all right, sure. Sure, writers, I get it.
Yeah.
This is the spark for this. This is him finally seeing it.
Certain situations are clarifying.
Yeah.
You know, it like makes you be like, puts things in perspective.
And he does kind of think like, wait a second, did God give me Chloe brain?
Yeah.
To like save me? Or is this something? Because at this point,
yeah,
he's like praying super hard.
Because he's like,
you have to imagine
don't hypnotize me, please.
Imagine Nikolai is like crawling across his big ass desk, like, yeah. Oh, we do this, we'll do
and
this.
And his eyes were glowing. and Bug's like, having to be like, la 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 la, I don't hear you, I'm thinking about Chloe.
Yeah, and this is the part where he goes, the book says, Carpathia stared at him. Buck, you will never tell a living soul what I have told you today. No one must ever know. You will work for me, and you will enjoy privileges and opportunities beyond your imagination. You will think about it, but you will say yes in the end.
That part was like wild. I'm like, ooh, scary. Again,
this is him throwing the magic out.
Yeah, he's putting the spell on. He's trying to put the spell on Buck, but guess what? Buck, his con, or he rolled his savings check and then he defended against it.
He thinking about Chloe's curves.
Yeah, yeah.
Her spiritual walk and how strong it is.
Thinking about her reading the Bible and just getting really horny about it.
I did like that he said at some point, it's like, does he love her? Well, he doesn't know her, but she's attractive.
Yeah.
And I think we have a lot in common. And
yeah, they've known each other pursuing. For, what, literally like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I have to say that this was both kind of cliche falling in love, but they did the necessary work that's even like good books don't always do of like, I don't fucking know this bitch, what the
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, but I'm obviously feeling something. Yeah, exactly. Something's going on here.
So good for you, Jenkins.
Yeah,
you
did that made some sense.
That made some sense. and since Nikolai like shotgun blast him with evil juice, he had to like pop back
right
and pivot.
Yeah.
And since he's like no longer hypnotizing Buck, and I guess he wants to like make Buck think it's his choice. This part was so fucking funny because Nikolai's like, Buck, let me ask you a question. If you could live anywhere in the world, yeah, where would you live? And then Buck's just like panicking, Chicago? And then Nikolai's like, what the fuck?
What? Why?
Why? Why would anyone want to live in Chicago is a direct quote.
He should be like, How's the beans there? Except for I actually don't know how long the bean's been there in Chicago.
Oh, that
is the bean in Chicago this time?
At this time? Whoa. Nikolai says, I know the airport is central, but what else does it offer? I love the utter Chicago distaste coming from Carpathia.
The bean wasn't even there at that time.
Shit, he's right.
The bean was only unveiled in 2004. So, whoa. Like, literally, why would you want to be in Chicago? There's zero bean there at this point. So who cares?
What's the fucking point? The next chunk is Nikolai being like, well, what matters to you? What motivates you if it's not money? And then we get like a long string of words paragraph. Because again, Buck is getting hypnotized by the fucking Antichrist. He's like, God, tribulation, good, cheese, pizza.
yeah. It's like he's flipping through like, what can I say? Yeah.
And then he says, truth and justice.
I'm like, shut the fuck up.
And Nikolai's like, just like Superman. Cool.
But and then Buzz's like, no, it's more like Clark Kent. Because I'm a journalist.
And I'm a journalist. And Nikolai's like, oh, did it.
Like that, but they're the same book. Is that the joke? I don't know. Whatever.
It's funny. We agree it's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
Are you saying it's not funny?
No, it is funny, but I was like honestly trying to be like, does Buck even know he's making that joke? I'm like, he probably does. I was just trying to diss Buck on Buck. So and I was honestly not being fair. Not Lissa, I was not being fair, just that diss didn't make sense.
You're not being objective.
No, I'm just being hateful because I hate him so much.
Yeah, yeah. And he asks him sort of like, yo, bro, what are you into? What do you think you want to do? Whatever. Yeah. And then Buck describes it, but he uses the past tense.
Yes.
And then this is the part we were referencing before, where immediately Nikolai is like, why do you use the past tense? Why do you say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you say, oh, I would have
done wanted, this.
I would have done this. And then Buck goes pretty quickly and kind of goes doomer mode. He's like, well, come on, man, right? Like, the world's going to end.
Yeah, he like says something about like, well, I don't know how much more time is left for this whole earth. Like, yeah. Dumb like that.
What with this happening and that happening. And
so he kind of saves it in the end.
Yeah, like, and Carpathia's like, you wound me. I'm literally trying to buy everything to stop this.
Like, did you not just hear me say that I'm making everyone melt their weapons down and I'm creating world peace? Come on, it's happening.
I'm going to buy the news.
Get in the car, baby. We're driving to world peace.
I'm going to buy the news. And guys, do you want like a third, fourth, or I don't know, fifth cliffhanger on what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Which is stupid because like I don't know what else he's going to say because right now he's promising freaking Buck $1 billion a day to live in Chicago and to run one of his news organizations.
Yeah.
And then they end this chapter with Nikolai being like, I'll convince you. And then Buck saying, oh, now I'm really interested. This is going to be good. I'm like, what? What about before? This is so stupid. Stop doing this. Stop.
Let's go back to I know it'd be fun to talk about the Antichrist, but like, what if we go back to Rafer driving back to the airport?
This part is
talking. And what are we going to Rafer talking to his boss?
This part is so weird because this part was like so confusing because typically the characters are dealing with things they know about. Like, you're too good of a Christian. Why'd you do this? And you're like, fuck, that sucks about you. So this whole section is Earl, his boss, following up on the complaint that the other pilot said about him proselytizing or whatever. But the reason why it's so bad is because the implication is that the tester of the 777 that he took down in Tejas also wrote a complaint.
Right. And Raver's like, okay, now I didn't do that.
I'm like, all right, I didn't do that.
I'm gonna be real with you. I did proselytize to other people, but this one, not me.
And so much of this section is Earl talking about one thing and then Ray talking about another.
Yeah,
kind of saying, well, I didn't do it, but if I did, I would have done like this.
If I did it.
And it gets to this really funny part where Ray is like, I guess I probably said something to the driver. And Earl's like, it wasn't the fucking driver. Stop talking about the driver. He's like, it wasn't him. He's like, all right, I don't know what happened. And Earl's like, I can't trust you.
Oh, man.
A lot of things happen, but again, that's basically the gist. I do like that Ray's like, okay, well, if this motherfucker is talking shit about me, I'm gonna fucking confront him. And Earl's like, no, you're fucking not.
Stop it.
Stop.
You're an HR problem.
I'm at a loss, Earl. I'm not sure I would have apologized if I had legitimately been in trouble for this. So I sure can't apologize for something I didn't do. Which I thought was really funny.
I mean, he's right on that. He's like, listen, man, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I didn't do that.
Yeah. It's so confusing. And again, it's written very confusingly because Earl's talking about something that happened in the book differently than the way that we saw it.
Right. So for some reason, someone has, like, tried to plant with Earl that Rafer was trying to proselytize to the... Which now, also, because the dude that was doing his, like, evaluation was being, like, kind of weird.
A little weird. Really quiet.
Yeah, so it made me be like, is he a plant? Is
he's
he a Carpathia
the same
plant?
Bird. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't... Well, maybe, like, it could be... Because, I mean, then, like, the whole thing is, like, then Hattie, like, he hands Rafer the note from Hattie.
I think he just says it. He just said, yeah, later, he doesn't mention the note. He just says, well, this sucks.
But I'm saying that man, the evaluator, was the one that handed...
Oh, the evaluator,
yeah. The evaluator was the one that handed him Hattie's note, so therefore that... There's a Carpathia connection.
No, sure, absolutely.
Like,
no,
there's gotta be. And so they're trying to, like, get him, like, away from his job. But then that means Carpathia knows.
So, this is the part that makes no sense, because it sounds like what they're doing is sort of blackmailing or something like that.
It's like they're trying to force him out of his current job into...
To be the pilot for the Antichrist.
Right.
But no one knows
on
him.
On Air Force One.
And why wouldn't Hattie just do it?
For the President of the United States.
So the only argument is that Hattie would be like, I didn't think you'd accept, so I got you fired. But like...
Maybe.
How would we ever justify that, Hattie? Hattie, that's naughty.
No.
It's so confusing. I don't know.
I don't know what they're doing with this.
I don't know what they're doing
We'll find out.
We'll find out. But we cut back over to Bach for a second. And this part's funny because it's like just a quick beat where Nikolai's like, tell the fucking president I'm going to be late.
Yeah, that was, oh my God. Yeah, because that part too, like how like deferential the president is being to Nikolai. Because he's all like, oh, like, we'll send a plane for you. Like, you know.
He literally sent...
The president was like offering to come to New York to see Nikolai.
And then Nikolai's like, no way, man. I can't do that. And
like,
then
you're the president. I'll come to D.C.
Thanks to him, I will be late. And then the president's like, I'm going to send Air Force One to pick you up. And he's like, okay. It's already on the way. All right, I guess. And then Buck is like, whoa. My Life a Movie, too.
Damn. I can't believe this.
We cut back to Ray and Earl. And then Earl says, well, let me tell you, this comes at the worst possible time. The new Air Force One, which is scheduled to go into service next week, is a 7... Did you change that?
No.
This is 757. What the fuck? Oh, is my janky version say 757?
Apparently, yes.
Oh, God damn it. All right, I
like the fact that you think that I went in there and changed that, though.
I like, why would it say this? Why, but yeah, basically the new Air Force One is going to be a 777. And he doesn't tell him. He didn't even get a chance to freaking pull out the note. And whoa, it's so crazy. Okay, yeah, this one does say 757.
Huh.
Huh. Well, this version's old. This version, we've already...
Yeah, you mean the OG.
The OG, yeah.
The original.
The red letter.
Yeah, this is the red letter left behind.
Yeah.
Book.
Every time this comes up, only OG people read the freaking 757 version.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not. I'm reading
the
777
version. Tim's in the new century, but not me. I'm still in the previous century.
Anyways, if that was not clear due to the fucking confusion yet again, because we're obsessed with it and how weird it is.
I can't stop being obsessed with it because it's just such a funny change.
Mm-hmm. The whole point was, not the whole point, but like a sub point of this part, for at least for Ray, is he's going to show Earl the note from Hattie and be like, what the fuck? And before he gets a chance to do that, Earl's like, God damn, man, what about this crazy shit?
Yeah, and Ray was
like, oh,
what?
No.
That's what my note says.
End of chapter. Man, I want to keep reading. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, no, I'm really wanting to hear the rest of the whole Carpathia butt situation.
How many more cliffhangers can there be? 13?
I mean, at least.
Yeah, that's a bad number. Is it a bad number in the Bible? I don't remember. Anyways,
I think it is.
I'm excited about playing Zelda for the next 2 weeks for 97 hours while you're gone.
Yeah.
But I'm a little sad that we're going to have to most likely postpone the episode, the next episode, a little bit.
Yeah, until I get back.
So that means I can't read. That happens to me a lot in Naruto review time.
And you're like, but I want to know what happens.
I want to know what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to see, because I'm going to be in Portland on a trip too, and I'd love to go to Powell's and see what fucked up Christian books they have. Because that's where I actually acquired, maybe this version, I forget. I acquired some of my Left Behinds there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go dig again, see what other fucked up things I'll find.
I do like how often we get pictures of people like at thrift stores and consignment shops like, huh?
They're always there. That's the thing. It's like, you don't have to pay them money. Yeah,
someone DM'd me like, do you want these? I was like, sure. But you know how that is.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a catfish. You know how many DMs I get a day about OnlyFans and Bitcoins? Is it not safe to click those OnlyFans links? I've never done it.
I don't know.
I mean, you wouldn't see me.
You're a maniac because you have your DMs open, and
true.
I do not.
That's true. It's fun.
I don't want that. It's fun. No, thank you.
It is. Let me read my most recent one. That you know, it's an opportunity. It's a business opportunity, and I'm kind of. Hey there, this is my new ID, and good to know you. I like to travel around and share something interesting about my life. I viewed your tweets and thought maybe we have something in common. Hope we can be friends. If you wish, we can share something more private or do something meaningful for fun. DMing.
Sex.
Well, girl. This avatar that I've seen 4 times already, I'm into it.
No, but Tim, I thought that bots were better now on Twitter.
I thought bots were better now
on Twitter.
I thought
that there weren't so many bots on Twitter.
Well, what are you going to do? Thank you so much for being here. Consider joining the Patreon over at patreon.com/contenthole. You can follow the podcast at Trip Farce Pod. We always love to get your comments, your emails, your messages on the various socials, whether it's to our personal accounts, me at Tim Lanning on Twitter or at Jennifer Cheek. Even if it doesn't come up here, it's always so good. Even on the, you know, today on the Patreon, we're talking about how weird the pilot stuff is.
Yes.
Someone was kind of going back and forth being like, this is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
This is weird. But here's a little background. And that was fun. I'm thankful for that. It means the world to us that you would listen and, you know, just get out there. Be like Ray, you know, hey, do you mind if I friggin' play this Left Behind podcast with my headphones off,
and, like,
wherever you are?
If you don't stop talking about this Left Behind podcast, we're going to fire you. And you're like, I will never stop.
We saw this, you know, we said this last week. If you're not being threatened to be fired because of you listening to this podcast, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Live boldly. Thank you so much. Until next time, like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.